Welcome to The Empowered Life. I am your friend, Ern Inyon. This podcast aims to inspire you to create the life that you want to live. If you are not yet a subscriber, be sure to subscribe and get notified when a new episode is posted. Now let's go on with the show. Hi everyone, in this episode, I want to start the talks on popular beliefs and their impact on how we behave. There are books that need to be read figuratively, and there are books that need to be read literally. Biography, autobiography, and history books are type of books that need to be read literally because they tell facts and sequence of events that happened. On the other hand, fiction books tell a story, but it is the meaning behind the story that is more important. I also would like to say that there are instances that believing facts in a fiction can be dangerous, so caution is needed when you feed your mind. I believe the Holy Bible is a book that needs to be read not literally, but figuratively. When you read it, you have to put it in context. There are many stories in there that you cannot simply take them in verbatim. In the book of Genesis, for example, it is written that God created every life form in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. Of course, we cannot take this literally to be true, because gestation period for a mouse, for example, takes 19 days. A tiger takes 113 days. Humans take 266 days. And elephants take 617 days. The sequence is logical, but the day here can mean 100 billion years. So to really insist in believing that the whole thing happened in 6 days is pure ignorance. Believing without clarity is dangerous. It is the same as the story of Adam and Eve. I believe it is a story that needs to be interpreted figuratively rather than literally. And believing the facts in this story is dangerous. The story of Adam and Eve is central to Christianity because it points us to our ancestors. That's why it is hard for Christians to dismiss this story as not historical, because so many of our beliefs are anchored on this story. Like the concept of original sin and introduction to evil are anchored on this story. I know, because I had a hard time also. For years, I also believed that it really happened. But as I gained more wisdom, it is the meaning and more important, and more so, it is its impact that is more important. First, whether the story did happen as depicted in Genesis or not is not really important. You know, it's like this. Today, it is a fact that you and I are alive. I am breathing and I can hear my voice as I talk. That means I am alive. I am sure you are too, because you're listening to this podcast. But fast forward 200 years from now, everyone who is alive today will be dead. And the people who will be alive by then would wonder whether you really existed or not. But you see, whether you and I really existed or not in the minds of people in the future generations do not bear relevance anymore. What will make you relevant to the people in the future is the impact that you've made. Secondly, I believe Adam is a representation of our masculinity, and Eve represents our femininity. Masculinity means our physical strength. You know, Adam, to be coming out first, means we need more of our masculine attribute to survive. After survival, we need our feminine attribute to take care of life in this world that has been entrusted to us. I said earlier that it is dangerous to believe in the facts of this story. You know, in Genesis 2 verse 18, it says that the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." Another one is in chapter 3 verse 16. To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." To take this literally, does this mean that women were really created or meant to keep to keep men company? They were really created as helpers? You know, women as second-class citizens? Women are meant to serve men? And that is exactly what happened. You know, for centuries, women have been mistreated as second-class citizens. Societies everywhere, women were treated like slaves for men. You know, in the Bible, women are not even counted as part of the statistics. In the Sermon of the on the Mount, it is written that 5,000 men were there, not counting women and children. If you believe in this verse to be true, then it is but right to treat women this way. I say that's a total BS. Because treating women to be second-class citizens, not giving them equal rights than men, has been the biggest mistake we made in all humanity. You know, for centuries, women were not allowed to hold a position in governments or in corporations. They had no voting rights. Some countries prohibit them to go out and so on. It was only during World War II when women were allowed to work because all the men were out there at war. After World War II, the world found out that women did a great job, and so they started to have rights. We men should love and serve our women, and vice versa. We need to treat them with utmost respect. I don't know how much this verse has contributed to the belief of mistreating women. The world has been dominated by male, and look at where we are now. For me, the world lacks compassion, which is more of a women's attribute. It is such a chauvinistic way to believe that men are more superior than women. There is no such thing as a superior gender. Men and women are different. Both need one another. You know, just like black and white or front and back, we need one another to complete the picture. It is a partnership. This past century, we made a huge leap of progress in our humanity. We can see women holding leadership positions, having rights to vote, women having equal rights. We need to continue this fight. I noticed also in the movies, women are given more leading roles. You know, we have Wonder Woman, Black Widow, Wanda, and Mulan are just examples. These are attempts to empower more women in our society. The world needs more women to step up because life here on earth needs more femininity. When God said, "Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth," God didn't mean that we can abuse them or do whatever we want with them. To be dominant, if not to love and care, what is it then that we are trying to spread? To have dominion means we are the chief caretaker, the chief lover of this planet and every living thing. This is where we miss our women. To all the women out there, just be your own and step up. Thirdly, we have to be aware that Genesis is part of the Old Testament that depicts God as an angry and cruel God. People long ago, especially the author of Genesis, that was how they perceived God. Okay. After Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, God put enmity between man and woman, and to the woman, he increased the pangs in childbearing. Wow, that's a very angry God they have there. Then we are told to fear God, because one false move, my friend, he will burn you and send you to hell. So if you believe God is an angry God, how is this helping you? Are you afraid of committing mistakes? Are you afraid of taking risk in your life? Do you get angry fast at your wife or your kids when they make a mistake? Are you living in fear? Well, you should be, because you believe in an angry God. For years, I also believed God was an angry God, and it was like living in chains. I was so careful in every move I make because I might make a mistake. It was a very limited life. Now I believe we have a loving God, a God that loves me for who I am and with all my imperfections. If you make a mistake, He will embrace you and He will tell you not to be afraid because He has your back. I don't fear God because He is in me. By believing that He is in me, I honor Him by exuding love to every person that I meet and to the work that I do. I will give you an analogy. You know, when my wife and I knew that Ate Bing, the older sister of my wife, was coming home and live with us for a couple of months, we started beautifying our home. I fixed the patch garden, I bought more plants, made a beautiful walk path around our house so Ate Bing can walk around while looking and appreciating the plants. We fixed the room where she was going to stay. We made sure that air conditioning was working well, bought new bed sheets and pillows. You know, days before she arrived, we had a general cleaning of the house, and we stocked our refrigerator with all her favorite food. Now, why did we do all these? Because we want to honor Ate Bing by showing how much we love her. I am sure you do that when someone you love visits your home. You see, when you embrace a loving God, you become loving also. It is a natural reaction to improve yourself and your surroundings when you love, respect, and honor. Remember, you become who you worship. You have a choice to live in fear or to live in love. It will depend what kind of God you worship. The choice is yours. Thank you so much for listening, friends. Please rate and review this podcast and share it to your friends. Until next time, blessings always.